Okay, so we're on the Daf Lamed Amud Beis.
Leaving a little early, everybody. Okay.
All right. So on.
Ruth, are you moving?
Please, everybody should be muted. Please don't unmute yourselves. Okay. All right. So it's the last Daf Maseches Tanis. So tonight's CM is sponsored by Odin and Romina Weiss. Graciously sponsored. They become our patrons for the Daf Yomi, which is very nice. And it's the Lilui Neshama of and Pearlfield. And Pearlfield is Lilui Neshama of Pearlfield's father and Romina's grandfather, who was killed, unfortunately, on the 10th of Teved. It's Dov Ben Chaim, Zichron Levracha. Okay, now, also learning tonight is also sponsored by Carol Lerman, on the occasional yahrzeit of her grandmother, Yenta Bat Rav Avraham Cohen, who was yahrzeit on the 10th of Teved. Okay, so, and here you see Malka is here, by the way. So I'm going to begin on Lamed Amud Beis. I'm going to begin at the two dots. I know you did this already yesterday, Michael. It's nice to have you. But I'll go over a little bit. So the Mishnah said that... The Mishnah said that there were no greater Yom Tovim for the Jewish people than the Avodah Gemara, than the 15th day of Av and Yom Kippur. Here you go. Well, everybody's welcome. Welcome, Romina. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Mrs. Field. Welcome, everybody. Okay, you can take whatever you need. Okay? Okay. And here you go. And I mentioned that we were grateful for your generous sponsorship, and it's the Luna Shama for your father and for your grandfather. Dov Ben Chaim, Zichron Levracha. Okay, so we said we're on page 60. Okay, page 60, around eight lines before it gets wide. So Rosh Chodesh said the greatest Yom Tovim for the Jewish people was the 15th day of Av and Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, "B'shlemi Yom Kippurim, Mishum Did Beislichu Mechila." So Yom Kippur, I understand, is a day of forgiveness, atonement. That is a Yantiv. Yom Shinu Bo Luchot Achron, and we received the second Luchot on Yom Kippur. Sometimes we don't think of it that way, but the Torah actually ended up, you know, being brought to us on Yom Kippur. El Chamishas Sarba Av Mahi. What's the significance of the 15th day of Av? So the Gemara proceeds to give six reasons why the 15th of Av is a Yantiv. So he says, Amar Rabbi Yudah Mar Shmuel, Yom Shru Shvatim Lavo Zebazeh. So Rabbi Yudah says that in Shmuel, it's the day the Shvatim were free to intermarry with one another. In other words, so it comes out from the Gemara that, and from the Chumash, that if a girl would be the Yoreshet, in other words, she's the only heir in the family, she had to marry within her Sheva. In other words, if there's no brothers and she's going to be the Yoreshet, so then she had to marry within her Sheva. And then at a certain point in time, they decided she's free to marry different Shvatim. So let's take a look in the Gemara. So he says, my darish, what did they darshan to permit marrying into another shevet? We're four lines above where it gets wide on page 60. So he says, in other words, the mitzvah for Benot Tzafad, remember Tzafad only had five daughters, we're on 30b, five lines above where it gets wide. Okay, that's Megillah. If you want Tannis, this is Tannis. Okay, so the Gemara says that this is the mitzvah for Benot Tzafad, they have to marry within their shevet. So the Gemara says they darshened out the bar zilui noe gelu b'dor zeh. In other words, zeh ha-davar, it's just a miyad. Zeh ha-davar, Rashi is a miyad. In other words, this halacha pertains under these circumstances, but not under other circumstances. So that ruling they made on the 15th day of Av. On the 15th day of Av, they, in other words, in that generation, if you were in the generation of the Dor Midbar, right when they're going to have Yerusha and Eretz Yisrael, so then you had to marry within your shevet. But then afterwards, at a later point in time, on the 15th day of Av, he said anybody can marry anybody from any shevet. In other words, so it means that the Shvatim, if you look at a map of Eretz Yisrael, there's an area for each shevet. So the Shvatim begin to look like Swiss cheese eventually. In other words, if you have Yerusha, so like in other words, property is getting alienated to other Shvatim. And it means you could have like a piece in Zebulun, which is owned by somebody from Asher, because she married a guy from Asher, and now their children are going to yarshin the property. But initially, all the Shvatim were segregated. Okay, that's the first reason the Gemara gives. Then the Gemara says, three lines of work is wide. Amar of Yosef, Amar of Nachman, Yom Shehut Harshev Binyamin Labo B'Kahal. So Yosef says, and Rav Nachman, that on the 15th day of Av was the Binyamin, a welcome, it's a kavod to have our rabbi with us, Rabbi Yismach. Nice to have you, Rabbi Yismach. You know, this is a very unusual time, Rabbi Yismach. I'll tell you why. It's a rare occasion that the morning shir and the evening shir are going to be studying the same sechta. You're doing Megillah in the morning. We're going to be doing Megillah in the evening. We're getting a lot of Megillah here. Maybe everybody can come to every Megillah. Did you want to say a few words? I know you have a shir at 8 o'clock.
This is a part that I heard from my 8-year-old yesterday. Medicine has to damage whatever it is that damage you, and that's the sort of the double-edged sword of some. He says the seam is the same thing. I said, Zalik, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, every time you finish on the Sabbath, it's sad because you're finished, and you know, this can have the opportunity to begin a new one. And that's what he told me. I was very excited to hear that. But the truth is, Daf Yomi is particularly like that. Finish the Sefta, and then you say, did I do it well enough? Did I chazer well enough? Did I listen to every block? Did I have regrets? You feel like, you know, I've done more. And now we close Tainus, and now I'm running to the next Sefta, and now we're up to Megillah. It's going to be a very, very frustrating thing. But at the same time, it's a psalm, it's a medicine. You're going to get into it again. We do the sequence, and we do this Seder Avoda. Of the Daf Yomi from Sefta to Sefta to Sefta, indubitably, you will not get the first Sefta done the right way, but you'll get back. Because once you develop that muscle of daily learning and doing a Daf every single day, inevitably, invariably, you'll get back to that Sefta and you do well the next time. Everybody should have a Slacha. I join with you. This is the closest I've gotten to finishing the Sefta on time, Sefta's finest, and hopefully, the Sefta's to go up. I'll be here with you.
Yeah, have a head start on it.
The sponsorship
of the Weiss family.
It should be
Thank you.
Thank you.
And it's like a little homecoming day. We have Aaron Gershon with you. It's from Boca Raton, Florida. So, all right, let's take a look back on the Gemara. Okay, so, and thank you, Rabbi Yismach. Okay, so now we're three lines before it gets wide on Lamed Amud Beis. So on page 60. Okay, so Amar of Yosef from Nachman, Yom Tov Shu'ut Rashi B'Binyamin Lebo B'Kahal. The 15th day of Av was the day that people from Binyamin were allowed to marry within the rest of the Jewish people. So if you remember, there's an incident at the end of Sefer Shoftim where a man is passing through Shev Binyamin with his Pilegesh, and the Pilegesh is abused and killed, and they demand that the people be brought to justice, and the people from Binyamin decline. And as a result of that, all the Shvatim go to war with Shev Binyamin, and then they take a shvua. We're not gonna marry within Shev Binyamin. So he says, Shinemar, the Ishis from the Shbaba Mitzbalimor, Ishman lo yitain bitol the Binyamin Leisha. They all took a shua that nobody's going to give any of their women to Binyamin from Isha. So at a certain time, they darshaned that they could do that. My darish, what was the drush they made? So Amaravi Menu will be Benayim. In other words, they said, Ishman Menu from this generation, we're not going to give, but later on we will. Okay, so those are the two reasons for the 15th day of Av. Any quick questions before we go on? Everybody good? Okay.
Wasn't that?
Wait. I have Rafi that I'll get you afterwards. I don't know what the year. I know when they went to Eretz Yisrael that the prohibition was in effect, and at some point later on they what's up, Aaron Moshe? What do you want to say?
Wasn't that where the guy cut the body up into 12 pieces and sent it around? That made the impression.
Yeah, that definitely makes an impression. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, so we're on the second wide line of the Gemara. So Rabbi Baruch Hanan Yochanan Yom Shekalu Bo Meitei Midbar. So Rabbi Yochanan says the day that the people stopped, you know, as you know, there was HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that the generation of the Midbar is going to die out. In other words, in the Midbar, they're not going to see Eretz Israel. So when they stood, when they, we're here, well, yeah, that's Megillah, but we don't. So, but there's a setup there. You can look for a Tanis over there, okay? So, on the second shelf from the top, okay? Go to the right. Well, you have two sets over there. On the top shelf, raise your hand, right up there. Now, okay, second shelf. Just show them the data, okay? Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Yom Shekalu Bo Meitei Midbar, the people in Midbar stopped dying. The Amamar, Achlo Kalu Meitei Midbar, Lo Yadiburi Moshe. That before, in other words, when the people were dying off, when this whole punishment was being in effect, so there was no, and it was Hashem was still speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, but not in the same, like, loving, affectionate manner. So he says, Shinemar, Vahi Kashu Tamukon Shem Lot Malamot, when everybody stopped dying off, by the Ber Hashem Eli. Then Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem spoke to me, Eli, Eli Aya Dibur. In other words, to me, I had this special Dibur like I had before. Okay, now, Ula Amar, so we're building up the reasons for the 15th day of Av. And then there's a medrash that Rashi brings down and Tosfos brings down that every year on Tisha B'Av they would go dig their graves, and then in the morning they'd say, you know, that was when the Meraglim came back on Tisha B'Av, and that's when Hashem says you're all going to die here in the Midbar, and then they dig graves on the according to the medrash on the ninth of Av, and in the morning they say, okay, everybody's alive, come back and you know, step up, and people would step up. That last year they did it. Nobody did, everybody got up, nobody died. So they did it again and again and again until they saw the full moon on the 15th. They said that's the end of the Gezerah. And so that was a source of tremendous simcha. Okay. So then the second line from the bottom says, Ulamar, Yom Shabito Hoshe Benin Lapruzdio, Choshiv Yeravin Ben Drachim, Shlomo Yisrael Regel. So if you remember in the Navi, Yeravin Ben Nevad, after Shlomo Melech, the kingdom splits into two. You have Yehuda and Binyamin in the south and the 10 northern tribes in the north. So Rechavam ben Shlomo was the king of Yehuda and Binyamin, and Yeravam ben Nevat, who was a bad king, he was a chote, who machti to rob him, he was the king in the north. So the Gemara says, and the Navi says, he says, if I'm king and everybody makes a lila regel, so they'll see that the only one who's not sitting in the Azara is Rechavam. I'll have to stand. Rechavam will be sitting. They'll say, this is the real king. This is the phony baloney king. And they'll, you know, they'll pull their allegiances from me. So he set up, you know, two places of Avodah Zarah, one in Dan and one in Beit El. And he set up a Galim. And he said, you know, this is the El Elohech Yisrael from Kol, Sherlukum Yerushalayim. These are your gods now. So they were all doing Avodah Zarah until Hoshea ben Ela was the last king of the 10 northern tribes. So they had Pruzio, they had guards at the border preventing people from making Alila Regel. He removed the guards. He says, Shlo Yalusur Regel. But Amar, on Laman Altamanal, the top line, Leza Shriyasu Yalu. He was like an open minded person. He's not saying make Alila Regel, let everybody do whatever they like. So, somewhat counterintuitively, because I'll teach us that up until that point in time, so the blame for people doing Avodah Zarah rested on the shoulders of the king because he was preventing them from making Alila Regel. Once he removed the impediment, so now it was everybody's Aveira that I'm making Alila Regel. And so somewhat counterintuitively, because he removed the Pruzio, that ended up the Korban. Now they have the opportunity, they're not making Alila Regel. So now they're in bad shape. Okay. So that, but he removed, but initially moving the Pruzio was a good thing. That was on the 15th day of Av. Okay. The top line, Rabbana Amar, Yom Shinu Haruge Beitar Lakura. Rabbana says, Haruge Beitar, you know, Beitar was a city that was important in the Bar Kokhba rebellion. And then it was, you know, conquered by the Romans. And people were killed there and the bodies were left for a period of years. They were left out. So the Zal teach us that the day the Haruge Beitar, that they were permitted to bury those bodies, so that was a big yontif. That was the 15th day of Av. The Amar Matno, Toyom Shinu Haruge Beitar Lakura, the day that Haruge Beitar, they had permission to bury the bodies, so that's the day they established the fourth bracha in Birkat HaMazon. We say, so that bracha was established when Haruge Beitar were permitted to be buried. And what was Hatova HaMeitiv? Hatov Shlomo Sritu, Hatov, the bodies didn't decompose, but Meitiv Shem Ulatur, and then they were able to bury them. Rabbi Rabbi Yosef, the Ami Tarvayum, Yom Shepaskum Milakot Eitzim Amaracha. So Rabbi Rabbi Yosef both saying that the fifth day of Av was important Yantiv, because that was the day when they stopped cutting wood for the Mizbeach. In other words, each season they had to cut wood, and wood, we know from the beginning of the Perek, was an important item, and they had the Yantiv when people would bring the wood. So they would stop cutting wood on the 15th day of Av. Because so we have the Tanya, Reb Lezer Gedolomer, Mechamishasar Ba'av Ve'ilach Tashash Kofa Shalchama. From the 15th day of Av going forward, so the sun is weaker. In other words, the days are not as hot. Now with the wood, it's important that it shouldn't have any worms in it. If there's worms, that's not good for the Avodah. If you remember, we learned previously in Daf Yomi, there was a whole deworming detail in the base of Mikdash of the Kohanim who were Bali Mumim. If they had a Mum, they couldn't do a Avodah in the base of Mikdash. So they sent them to the deworming detail. That would be their job to make sure to get the worms out of the wood. But they don't want to have worms in the wood to begin with. So they would stop cutting the wood from the 15th day of Av. He says, because now the wood is not so dry. It gets moister. So we don't want to use it. So Am Ramanashi. Ramanashi says, this is line 10 on Laman Alpha Man Aleph. The Karula Yom Tavar Magal. We call the day of the breaking of the axes. It means we're done cutting the wood. Now, Mikan Ve'ela, from that point forward, the Mosif Yosef, if a person increases the learning, now the nights get longer. In other words, beginning on the 15th day of Av, it's like, you know, you're past the summer solstice. So now the nights get longer. So Chazal teach us a person only acquires most of his learning at night, maybe a little bit not the way we normally think of it. Night is when you acquire your learning. Because night, everything comes to a halt, business starts calming down. So that's when a person can really absorb the Torah. So he says, so from this point forward, the Mosif Yosef, a person increases his learning, he'll increase his life. He says, Udla Mosif, but if you don't increase the learning at night at that point, now, the Girsa, the way it comes out from Tosfos and on the side, is Yasef, not Yasef, but Yud Samech, Yud Pei. In other words, Yasef. So we know what it means. So the Gemara says, my Yasef, what does it mean, Yasef? Amar of Yosef, Tikrei Yimei. It means that Yasef means the same thing as Yasef, that he'll die. He'll die early, that his mother will bury him. In other words, the idea is that a person should increase the learning going forward in the summer. Okay, I'm going to go forward, and then we'll try to wrap this up. Okay, so any questions, comments, thoughts, anything to do so far? What's up? Is he learning zero? Yeah. Well, it means it's not a good situation. He says Rashi says, look at Rashi, he'll die before he otherwise would have died. That's what the Gemara is saying. All right. Now, say again. Right. No. So they had the whole stockpile to keep them for the year. And then next summer, next spring, they start cutting again. Yeah. Right. Well, no. Rashi says, let's look at Rashi. He says, if you look at the fourth wide line of Rashi, look, wrote, the fishing lock and they're moist. And we're afraid there'll be a worm in the wood, as Rashi says, right? Rashi will be a worm in the wood, as Rashi says, right?
The moisture
is when
you get dried out,
right?
It's not that it doesn't
spindle
well dry.
I mean, that could be a thing out, but it's the worm is the main thing. Okay, all right. So only one now. The Rambam says that any house that where Torah isn't studied at night, Eishol Chotzo, is consumed by fire. So it might mean like metaphysically, but it means like the house is in a different getter. If Torah isn't heard there at night, that house is in a different getter where Torah is, you know, like Rav Simon likes to say, you walk into a house, you get like a feeling of what goes on in that house. And you walk in a house, the TV is going, the music's going. that's one ambiance. You know, the house, you know, people have a safer openness. I didn't say anything like that. Okay. So I think, no. Not saying till midnight is related to the Midas Hadin. In other words, like at night, this is more Al-Pi Kabbalah. Night is not a good time for tachanunim, for supplication for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why they don't say Tehillim. Okay? Now, let's see back in the Gemara. So we're around is 6 lines above where it gets wide. Okay? So Shebehem Benot Yishlam Kulei. So we learned in the Mishnah that on the 15th day of Av, the women, the single women would go out and dance, and they'd find a shidduch. Okay, and then we do that apparently on Yom Kippur as well, but we'll see some shocking. So Tanur Rabbanan, now everybody would borrow clothes. Everybody would borrow clothes, so nobody would be embarrassed. So the Gemara says Tanur Rabbanan, but Melech should only black wing at all. But Melech, who's like the top of the hierarchy, in other words, the king's daughter, would ask from the black Kohen Gadol. In other words, everybody asks, even from somebody less than them. Nobody should feel embarrassed. Everybody's borrowing clothes. He says, black Kohen Gadol, we bought skan. The black Kohen Gadol would ask from the door to the skan, do you have any clothes to borrow? Even though they have clothes, they got a whole wardrobe, but they would ask to borrow clothes. It's a little bit like, we bought skan, we bought Meshuvah Kolchama. The skan is like the understudy. The Kohen Gadol is going to take over on Yom Kippur if the Kohen Gadol can't go forward. And the door of the skan would ask Meshuvah Kolchama, which is a Kohen who is anointed and speaks to the troops. About Meshuvah Kolchama, about Kohen Adyod. About Meshuvah Kolchama would ask the daughter of a regular Kohen, the Choy Shoshalim Zemisa. Everybody would ask to borrow. Nobody should feel embarrassed. So it means in the group, some women may not have clothes. Everybody has white clothes. But since everybody's going to be borrowing, nobody notices and everybody feels hunky-dory. If you don't have it, go to somebody else to ask. I don't know. I don't know what to say. Okay, I don't know. I mean, the embarrassment is more from the recipient's end. In other words, the recipient has to ask. That's the embarrassment worried about. So anyway, so let's see back on the Gemara. So the last hour long, for a kelim tumim tefila, all the clothes would require tefila and a mikvah because we're concerned that maybe one of the women was tamei. He says, "Amr Blazar, I think one of them mikvah." So even if the garments were like folded up and left in a chest, it still requires tefillah and mikvah. And it was, even though we know it doesn't require tefillah, but everybody requires tefillah, so nobody has to feel embarrassed about anything. Everybody's borrowing, everybody's thinking of mikvah, so nobody has to feel embarrassed. So the Jewish women go out and dance in the vineyards. Tana, Tana, Braisa, that if a woman, a man didn't have a wife, he would go there, and that would be the shidda. All right. So the ones, so the Mishnah described different women would be in different situations. So if you had yichus or not have yichus, so the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Yifefiyot Shebehen, the beautiful women, why you all wrote, what would they say? Tanui Nechem Liyofi, Shehen Yishel Liyofi. So look at looks, and that's the main thing. So the Yifasot Shebehen, why you all wrote, what did the ones with yichus, what did they say? Look at Mishpacha. A woman is for children, so I'll be Miuchas if you marry me. If they didn't look too good, they didn't have Yichus, now you won't wrote. In other words, take your Makach L'Shem Shemayim. You give us nice jewelry, we'll be okay. So, okay, let me pause at this point in time, and then let me say a few words, and then I think we'll be in good shape. First, let me just do a little piece from the Al Hadaf. Okay, now many commentaries find it difficult to believe that such frivolity would take place on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year. We said that this took place on Yom Kippur and on the 15th day of Av. So the Sefer, Spirit of Tzaddik, suggests that the mission does not mean that these activities took place on Yom Kippur itself, rather on Motzei Yom Kippur. That's one shot, took place on Motzei Yom Kippur. He says, Rav Tzadok HaKohen explains that during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the Yetzer Hara was rendered completely powerless on Yom Kippur, for the people were elevated to the level of angels, which have no temptation or lust. Therefore, it was appropriate to seek a wife in such a manner on Yom Kippur because everyone's motive was pure and there were no danger of sinning or having immoral thoughts. Okay, well, alternatively, the Sfaris Yisrael suggests an allegorical interpretation of the Mishnah. The word Bachur is a euphemism for Hashem. We find a Shir Shirim, Bachur Karazim. So when it says the Bachur is going to meet the Benot Yerushalayim, the Bachur is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, and the words Benot Yerushalayim are a euphemism for Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people. On Yom Kippur, after Klal Yisrael had done tshuva, they declare to Hashem that they are the most suitable nation amongst whom he should dwell. They say, look at our beauty, for we have no sins. In other words, look at our beauty. We're completely cleansed from Aveirot. He says, turn to our Yichus. We're descendants of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and which only our nation can boast. In addition, if we were initially ugly due to our sins have turned into merits. We did tshuva me'ahava, and now, through our tshuva, we perform, and now to become the Shem Shemayim. Now we're in good shape. That's a different pshat. Okay, that's a different pshat in the Gemara. All right, now All right, let me just say some final words again, and then I think that'll be it. And again, I want to thank again Odeda and Romina Weiss and Mrs. Pearl Field for sponsoring the SEAM on the occasion of the yahrzeit of Mrs. Field's father and Romina's grandfather, Dov Ben Chaim Zichrono Livracha. It should be a luna shama for him. And again, the learning also was the luna shama of Carol Libby's. One second, let me get it out. Carol Libby's grandmother, Yenta Bat HaRav Avraham HaKohen Zichrono Livracha. Okay, so he should have at least a shama as well. All right, let me say some things. So this week's Parsha Shavuot is Parshas Vayechi. So in Parshas Vayechi, it mentions Yisachar. We know Yisachar and Zvulun. Yisachar represents the people who study Torah. Zvulun are the people in business. That's why Chazal take it. And Yisachar and Zvulun have this whole shidduch, where the people from Zvulun, who are the business people, support the people from Yisachar, who are the Torah scholars. So they have a Yisachar-Zvulun relationship, which is, comes in halacha that way. So what the pasuk, the bracha, that Yaakov Avinu gives to Yisachar is, Yisachar chamor garam. Yisachar is like a strong bone donkey. Rovetz beinam mishpatayim. He rests between the borders. It says vayar menucha kitov. He saw rest. The rest was good. Vira aretz kinaima. The land was pleasing. Then it says vayet shechmon lespol. He bent down his shoulder to bear weight. Vayhi lamas tovei. He was an indentured servant. So first it's talking about him. Everything is good, and then it's talking about taking this weight. So the Chafetz Chaim. He has a mashal. He always has a nice mashal. He has a mashal in Sefer Shem Olam, which I looked at today, but it's also quoted in the Sefer Yaakov Lekatov. He says, what does it mean that the sabal, a burden of studying Torah? Torah is sweet, but how is that a burden? So he gives a mashal about a diamond merchant. So this diamond merchant, he's about to take a trip to acquire diamonds. It's in your area, Rafi. So he figures he allocates 3,000 rubles for the diamonds that he's going to get, and 400 rubles for his travel expenses, 200 there, 200 back, and that's the way he intends to do it. And he's done it before. So he goes on his trip. I don't know if he's going to the Far East, but wherever he goes, he spends 200 rubles getting to where he needs to go. Then when he's there, he spends 3,000 rubles buying nice gems, and he's happy with what he got. Right before he's ready to leave, somebody approaches him, and he says, listen, I have a wonderful deal for you. I have these wonderful diamonds. You know, they're fantastic. You know, maybe you'd be interested in buying them. He says, listen, I already spent all my money. I got to go. I'm sorry. The timing isn't right to me. He says, no, you have to look at these diamonds. They're really fantastic. And the government, they have false charges against me. They're going to seize all my property. And so why don't you just, you know, I'll give it to you for a song and you'll have a deal. So he looks at it and he sees the diamonds are really great diamonds and he doesn't know what to do now. On the one hand, this is before you have like, you know, I don't know, Venmo or anything with the email with the money and stuff like that. On the one hand, he's got these beautiful diamonds, but on the other hand, if he spends the money for the diamonds, there's no money to get home. How's he gonna? So he thinks through and then he decides to himself, you know what? I'm gonna cut down my travel expenses. I'll spend 180 rubles, my last 180 rubles on the diamonds, and the 20 rubles I'll use to get back. So where before, you know, I ate like one way, I'll eat very lousy food, and I'll lodge lousy, and I'll go forward with this. So they work out the deal, and the guy puts the diamonds in a box and gives it to him. So he goes on the way home, and instead of having a private room like he used to have, he has a place with all the wagon drivers. Instead of eating like nice food, he's eating like slop. And he keeps going on like this. And then one day, like a wealthy guy comes in and he recognizes him. He says, aren't you, you know, Pony the Gavir? Like, oh, well, how come you're living like a dog here? So he explains the whole thing to him, you know, this happened. And then he shows him the diamonds and he sees, yeah, I understand it. But he says, after everything is said and done, I still understand, how are you able to handle this? Like, you're used to one lifestyle, now you're traveling another lifestyle. How are you able to handle this? So he says, the truth is, it's very hard for me, but what I do is, whenever I have a difficulty, I just open the box, I look at the diamonds, and I remember what it's all about, and then I go on my way, and I'm going to make a killing on this. So Chafetz Chaim said, it's the same thing when it comes to Torah. You know, Torah always has, you give up something for Torah. In other words, some people give up a lot for Torah. This is, you know, kachi darka shel Torah, Papa. Some people, you know, they study in yeshiva the whole day and they give up, you know, a substantial amount of income. So, but everybody gives up something to study Torah. So Torah has a certain cost-benefit ratio. But if you look at the diamonds, then you understand. Meaning we're only here in this world for a limited period of time and here to study Torah and do mitzvot. We're not here, you know, to watch TV. We're not here to play games. And we're not here. The main thing is the Torah and the Masim Tovim. So, you know, with Daf Yomi, the input is very little. It's just an hour a day in terms of what people do for Torah. This is like a minimum investment, I would call, an hour a day for Torah, a very minimum investment. But that's all it really requires, an hour a day. With an hour a day, you go Daf by Daf by Daf by Daf. You pick up Masechta after Masechta. And that's all it really requires. Now, I should mention that the Gemara mentioned earlier, some people do want to learn by themselves. Learning by yourself is also a level. But the Gemara learned on Daf Zion. I have to mention it because we had it here in the second time. So the Gemara said that Torah. He says like a sword becomes for the Jews who just study by themselves. They become foolish. It means that when you study by yourself, you don't get a good shot. You don't get a clear shot in the Gemara. When you study with other people, you get a much clearer shot in the Gemara, much clearer shot in the Gemara. And then the Gemara also says that my Asian is like the city after the recording the time of the city. Just like a fire, you can't start a fire with a single stick. In other words, you need a couple of sticks. You need a couple of sticks to start a fire. So too, that's what Torah requires. Like you need a kabura of people. So again, I mentioned before, this is a rare occasion where we're going to have the same stuff as being studied by Rabbi Isbach in the morning before the 6:30 minyan or the 6:40 minyan Megillah. And here also, we're about to begin the Masechta Megillah, and we'll be doing Megillah as well. So again, I want to thank the Weisses again for the sponsorship and the Shvi Lui Neshama for Dov Ben Chaim and Lui Neshama for Carol Levy's mother, Yentabat, Rav Avraham Cohen. Okay, so now Odeid is going to do the last few lines of the Gemara and then the Hadron and the Kaddish. And then let me see who we have a volunteer to do. Rafi, are you up to doing the first lines of Megillah? Just one line in the Mishnah? Okay, so you can look at it, study it now. Here, I'm giving you. You'll do the top line, okay? Okay, you're on Odeid. It's all yours. And Odeid is going to explain that in the future, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a circle for all the tzaddikim, and everybody in the sleep will point to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And there's a piece from Rebleibla Eger, and they wrote this down in this Daf Digest, but I've seen it before. He says, what does it mean, like making a circle for the tzaddikim? It means in this world, like especially in the chassidim, you know, like everybody feels like they have a different derech. This one's doing this, this one's doing the other one's doing the other thing. But the future will be revealed that the focal point of the circle is the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that they all have the different derech, but they're all focused on Avodas Hashem. So that'll be it. Okay, you're on, Dave.
And then I will, when we eat, And it's going to happen in Gan Eden. Pointing to Hashem, and he says, like it says in it's confusing. It says in Shayahu, "Va'amar b'yom ha'ru inei Eloheinu zeh kivinu lo v'yishuenu zeh Hashem kivinu lo nagira v'nizkacha v'yishuato." Which sounds like I'm saying in English. Okay, Adran ala. אדם הלך בשלושה פרקים וסליק עלה מסך הפעמית. So, it's done so when I said.
You said it, what you said,
אדם הלך מסך הפעמית ואדם עלן דעתן, הלך מסך הפעמית ודעתן עלן, לא משתנה מנך מסך הפעמית ולא משתנה מנן לעולמה, עדה ולא עלמה דעתי. אדרן אלן הלך מסכת תענית ואדרן הלך דעתן, הלך מסכת תענית ודעתן עלה, לא נשתנה מנך מסכת תענית ולא תשתנה מנן. ולא תתנשא מנן, לא בעלמה עדן ולא בעלמה דעתי. אדרן הלך מסכת תענית ואדרן אלן דעתן, הלך מסכת תענית
ודעתך עלל לא נשתנה, לא נתנשי מינן, לא בעל מה דעתי. יהי רצון מפנינו, אדוני אלוהינו ולאחתנו, שיהיה תורתך, אמנותך, אמנותינו בעולם הזה, ודי מנו לעולם הבא. חנינה בר פפא, רמי בר פפא, נחמן בר פפא, חי בר פפא, אבא מרי בר פפא, רפרם בר פפא, רפיש בר פפא, סוחה בר פפא, עדה בר פפא, דרו בר פפא. ערב נא אדוני אלוהינו את דברי תורתך, בפינו ובחיות עמך בית ישראל, ונהיה כולנו, אנחנו בצאצאינו וצאצאי עמך בית ישראל, כולנו ידי שמך ולומדי תורתך. ומואבי תחכמנו מצוותך כי לעולם אי. לעולם ישכח פקודך כי בם חיתני ברוך אתה אשר אדוני למדך יפוקך אמן 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 סלע ועד מודים אנחנו לפניך אדוני אלוהינו ולאבותינו ששמת חלקנו מיושבי בית המדרש ולא שמת חלקנו מיושבי קרנות שאנו משכימים והם משכימים אנו משכימים לדברי תורה והם משכימים לדברים בטלים אנו עמלים והם עמלים אנו עמלים מקבלים שכר והם עמלים ואינם מקבלים שכר אנו רצים והם רצים אנו רצים את העולם הבא והם רצים לבאר שחת שנאמר ואתה אלוהים תורידם לבאר שחת אנשי דמים ומרמה לא יחצו ימיהם ואני אפתח בה יהי רצון לפניך אדוני אלוהינו כשם שעזרתנו לסיים מסכת תענית כן תעזרנו להתחיל מסכתות וספרים אחרים ולסיימם ללמוד וללמד לשמור ולעשות ולקיים את כל דברי תלמוד תורתך בעבר וזכות כל התנאים והמוראים ותלמידי חכמים יעמוד לנו ולזרענו שלא תמות התורה מפינו ומפי זרענו וזרע זרענו עד עולם ותתקיים בנו בלחתך תנחם אותך ושופך תשמור עליך והקיצור אותך איש הסיפורך כיווי
כיווי
כיווי יפו ימיך ויוסיפו לך שנות חיים או יחלים בימינה בשמאלה עושר וכבוד אדוני עוז לעמוד איתן אדוני אומר שלום יתקדל ויתקדל שמי רבה תודה למד יפו עתיד ויתקדעת ולהחייה מיתיה ולעסקה יתבון ולחי עולמה ולפני קרתג ירושלם ולשכללה בחלה וגבה ולנעקר פולחנה נפרעה מן הרעה ולהתבה פולחנה די שמיה ולהתרח וימליך פו קדושה בריחו למלכותי ויקרב ויצמח פולקנה ויקרב משיחי וחייכון וברכון ולחי לכל בית ישראל בעגלה ובזמן קריב אמרו אמן יתברך, משתבח, מתפאר, בתרומה, מתנשא, והתחדר, והתעלה, והתחלל, שמך בקודשה בריחו, לעילה מכל ברכתה, ושירתה, ושפחתה, ונחמתה, דמירן ועלמה, ואינו אמן. על ישראל ועל רבנן ועל תלמידי הון, ועל כל תלמידי תלמידי הון, ועל כל מנדה, סכין באורי תדי, ועקרה קדישה, עדיין ודין בכל אתר ואתר. יהיה להון ולכון, שלמה רבה, חינה וחיסדה ורחמין, בחיי עריכנו מזונה רבותי, ופוקנה ממקודם עברון, למשמעיה והרעה ואימו אמן. יהי שלמה רבה מן שמיה וחיים טובים עלינו ועל כל ישראל ואימו אמן. עושה שלום במרומיו וברחמיו יעשה שלום עלינו ועל כל ישראל ואימו אמן.
Okay, Rafi is going to read the first line of the Mishnah in Masechet Megillah, and I want to give a yashkot to all of you on your learning. I hope you go make Fala Chayil and special welcome back to Aaron Zuckerman. Okay, let's hear the top line. Okay, that's it. You got it. You got it. So what does it mean? Not early, not later. Okay, I should call. Okay, everybody's invited to the... okay, welcome. Okay, I'll see bye-bye Zoom world.
Are you not taking us with you?
Well...
I saw you started to make the see him before. I saw you eating before. You started ahead of everybody.
I had popcorn.
Yeah, you
started ahead of everybody.
One second.